Gentlemen, welcome to the No Cash, No Code podcast. I'm your commissioner, Andre Clark, and as usual, I am joined to help round up what was a heck of a game week. Top of the table, Tom. Oops. Gonna have to have a new one, aren't we? Tom, how are you?
Thank you, Andre. Incredibly predictable from you, as ever. I'm very good, mate. Thank you. Licking my wounds, but plenty of the season left.
I mean, it's been set up for a long time. It was going to happen at some point. It's still really tight at the top, but we've got to be short and sharp. There's two reasons for that, listener. One, we've got a time limit, and two, there is some tinkering to be done, on my side at least anyway. So let's go. Remind us, how did it go last week, Tom?
Goals galore, Andre, would be the headline here. I think one of the highest scoring game weeks in Premier League history. Mm-hmm. There were only two clean sheets in the entire week. One for Aston Villa, who put five past Sheffield United, and one for Manchester United, who put three past West Ham. Other than that, it was chaos. Everton, Spurs, 2-2, Newcastle, Luton, 4-4. Wolves obviously thrashed Chelsea, although I feel a bit better after the Villa win in the Cup in midweek. Brighton scored 4 against Palace, who look pretty hapless at the moment. Burnley and Fulham, 2-2. And then Arsenal-Liverpool, which game I suspect you enjoyed rather a lot. Interesting game, lots of ebbs and flows, but Arsenal
emotional.
Out 3-1 winners. And then City and Phil Foden got 3 against Brentford on Monday. How are you feeling after that Liverpool game? Let's touch on that quickly.
I was feeling fantastic after the Liverpool game, like emotional, obviously. And when you're watching it live, I know I'm a fan first and a football observer second, because I've watched the game a second time around and realised it wasn't actually quite as dramatic or as close as I thought it was at the time. It felt like it was a game that could have gone either way, and then you watch it again and realise that was probably the best performance an Arteta team has put together. Obviously, massive caveats and asterisks over that current Liverpool side, but yeah, very happy with that. Some level of consistency for us in 2024. And you guys, quite the opposite. I mean, how are you feeling after that week?
Well, I couldn't have been much lower after the Wolves game. My transition into being an AFC Wimbledon fan was almost fully completed that week. My brother was at the game, and the text messages were pretty short and sharp afterwards. Something along the lines of, that'll be my last game of the season. And they just keep drawing us back every time we think we're at rock bottom. They find a way of giving us a bit of hope, and the Villa performance was a very, very good one. Villa weren't good, but I thought we played very well. And you know, we've got one cup final and one cup fifth round, so we've got
first. I had a witty one-liner for you in regards to how Chelsea's midfield absolutely dominated against Liverpool. But actually, the moment passed. I thought it was going to be too raw at the time. So I thought I'd save it till this very chat. Let's move on, shall we? We've got some awards to get through. We've only got a little bit of time. How about you go first? Who had the best pick?
Pretty straightforward one, this, really. And I don't want to get in the way of our Hurt Award.
Oh, so much.
Looking through the top point scorers of the week individually. There were a few names that stuck out that I thought might be in some teams. Flecken in goal got a 10-pointer from his 522 saves against Manchester City. But both Kinder and Bradley had him on their benches. And then I found that Cunha of Wolves, who ran Chelsea Riot, was in someone's team. Very excited about that. 17 points. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid Hugo Gordon-Lennox's catastrophic few weeks continued with him or first on his bench. Yeah. Garnacho, 16 points. Hell of a performance from him. I've still got Scott McTominay in the Garnacho spot in my team. Garnacho got 16 points. Damien, new league leader. And Freddie Williams, two owners, so they're not allowed it. But only one owner of Alex Moreno, Andre Clark, who lots of people have had Dina throughout Moreno's injury. I've got a great friend who's a Villa fan who has been clamouring for Moreno's return for some time. It's obviously taken a little while for him to get back in the team since he's been there. His XG, and he's just popping up in the box absolutely everywhere. I mean, even against Chelsea in midweek, he had two very good chances. So he is a great pick, and he is your pick, Andre Clark. So
thank you very much.
Of the week, 14 points.
I mean, I feel he's owed me. I've had a terrible season. I blame him. He was in every preseason draft for me. I'm a big fan. And that became cash because obviously he wasn't there at the start of the season. And that was the start of it all going horribly wrong. So thank you, Moreno, for finally coming good for me. And I was surprised, actually. I did the same as you. I started off looking at what the picks were, and I low key hoped I wasn't get picked when I got as far as once I realized Cunha had done. Hugo, I thought I was in with a chance there. You did touch a little bit on her. We'll come back to that, I'm sure. But can I go next with Ting?
Yes, please.
I'm going to keep it short. I've said that a few times and then we've waffled. There's only two contenders. Firstly, George Johnson is breaking the rules. We all know what George is about, and he's had his moment. You've only had your podcast, George. You've had your prizes. Move on. Getting boring. Yeah. We'll see you next year. 99 for George Johnson. I've got no internet. I'm outside right now, so I can't go through the team exactly. But 99, just unbelievable form as he stormed up the table and into our hearts again. So well done, Johnson. But we have 100 burger. It's pretty impressive to get 100 points. I know it was an all-time leading most goals scored in the league, but as you said, there were no defensive points to go around. 100 points is always impressive. The only 100 points is even more impressive. 88,000 in the world, not quite up there to get the prize for the year, but with a team with some weirds and wonderfuls. Did you know Onana is still a thing in fantasy football? He's got an Onana, he's gone with, obviously he had to have Watkins, he went Richarlison, didn't worry about blanks coming up in the future, well played you on that decision. He started Foden, 101 points for Jamie Cork, and he must be gutted to be one of the only three Garnacho owners for 16 points and to it's come out with 101 is not only magnificent, but also a little bit of what if. To be fair, it's revisionist. You're looking at maybe Solanke in retrospect that you could have sat, but that's about it. So a storming start for a man who has trained early. He's going for manager of the month. Like he's set his stall. He's annoyed he hasn't been on the podcast yet. The pandemic cost him the last time he was supposed to be on one. So take a bow, Jamie Cork, an easy winner for me, the team of the week.
Yeah, no complaints there. Any 100 burger deserves it. Great shift from George Johnson, but excellent from Jamie, who, as we know, had such a good start to the season. 89K in the world last week, which, again, reflecting on George Johnson's taking of the and Ali Maxwell's 2 weeks previous when they were in single digit thousands reflect quite how good their weeks were.
Yeah.
But Jamie's on a bit of a rampage. Six greens in seven, up to 300K in the world. Really, really good stuff.
Great stuff. Shall we touch on the hurt then?
Oh, yes, please. What have you got?
Where to begin? There's so much. I think I know who the winner is going to be, but much like last week, it might take a vote at the end. So I'll pose serve first, shall we? This is a transfer one. You've got, you knew, listener, didn't you? Like when someone like a Foden goes mental, you already know someone's going to have benched him. When someone like a Watkins does what he's done in a week where everyone's desperate to get Haaland in, you know there's going to be hurt to be found. So in no particular order, we've got Dylan with the transfer, Saka and Gross out. That's two double-digiters. In comes KDB, very sensible, but he's net down massively on that transfer. You've got Freddie benched Foden. He benched Foden and he captained Gordon. I mean, how does it feel to be a Gordon captain when that happens, Tom?
Painful. Very, very, very painful.
Nothing worse, especially I'm not sure what's worse, a captain blank and he gets injured, or a captain not quite blanking to let you know what it could have been if he didn't then get injured and go off at half time. But anyway, so yeah, Freddie and yourself, I guess, on the Gordon captains. Steve Suckling. He went Saka to Diego and obviously benched Foden as well. So that's massive, massive loss for him. Then you've got Ed Mullane. Ed, I think, is the worst of the Foden misses because he's got Foden first sub. He's got Darwin Nunez in his starting lineup. So he's not only had to watch that Arsenal absolute drumming of Liverpool. Yeah, I said that. He's got Darwin. Is he coming on? Is he not? Is the boot going to work? He comes on. Okay, well, maybe he gets a smash and grab number. No, he gets a yellow card and a zero pointer. And then Foden trots on the pitch in the very next match and goes and scores 20 points. But for me, it's a two-horse race. The aforementioned Hugo Gordon-Lennox. Yes. Cunha on the bench. First sub, hat-trick. Enough to win it in any week. But how has he managed to have that person on the bench when he's just transferred out Watkins for Haaland as well? Unbelievable scenes. It is the net worst transfer of the week, even though it was only the one, Haaland to Watkins, 17 points negative, plus the 17 points on the bet. I mean, it could have been an all-time score as opposed to being the second week. No, two out of 3 weeks that we've talked about Hugo in the Hurt Award. It's going to take some goon to beat that. I think there's a contender. This is more of a long-term hurt. So I put it to you, Rob Leach. Annoyingly, I can't open his team right now, so you might have to go through this one. But you go for the wild card the week beforehand and score in the 40s when everyone else is significantly higher. The week after a wild card, you're on a -4 and you've got, I think, is it what, 35 he has for the week? Walk us through it, but he is going through some painful times right now.
Yeah. I'm afraid there's a lot of pain here. It's a great spot. He got 35 last week with his wild card. He's then hit a -4 immediately.
Not a good sign.
Which is always a concern when you have just pulled the wild card. So in came Estupiñán for Porro. So they both scored no points. And Richarlison in for Bernardo. So, and to be fair, it could have been even worse if he hadn't got the 15 points from Richarlison. He ended up...
That's a great transfer, and he's still there. Ouch.
Yeah, 45 points, -4. But, I mean, the real kicker, and I really don't know how this has happened, but he captained Isak. And I don't know who he vice-captained. Oh, sorry, he captained Isak and vice-captained Haaland. So yeah. His wild card had both Isak, who's obviously out long-term, and Son, who we knew was going to be out.
And Konza, Espinel, who's obviously lost.
He's ended up with 5 points from Haaland.
It's just gone off my screen now.
Yeah, it's he's got the -1 from Gabriel as well. Tough times, tough times.
Tough times. Post wildcard, there's nothing worse. Like we say, it's not just for 1 week, but for two back-to-back deep red hours. That's up there. So do we go with the long-term pain of multiple weeks or the immediate pain of not one but two hat-tricks? Well, two big scores taken out of your team in one set of transfers, having done no transfers for about 3 weeks in a row before that.
Yeah, I mean, Hugo benching Cunha and taking Watkins out is spectacular. I mean, that's 37 points between those two players. It's me to have wild-carded and dropped over $1 million in rank in two game weeks. Since wildcarding, he's been 8 million and then 7 million in the world, and he's gone from 2.6 to 3.7 million in the world over that time.
Take a bow.
I think it's got to be, mate. He fought back. He was 4 million in the world in game week 13. It got all the way back up to 2.6. And in the space of 2 weeks following a wild card, he's back down. He's only got, and this going out after the deadline, obviously, so we can talk about it. He's only got one Liverpool player, and he's only got one City player, and he's got one Brentford player.
He's going to get battered this week.
And he's got Tottenham and Chelsea players who are going to blank in a couple of weeks' time as well. So, I mean, I think I've got to give it to him, mate, because the other thing is, there's a pretty decent chance he's going to have to take another hit because he's also got Concert in there.
So yeah,
three players that are definitely not going to play this week. So I'm leaning towards him.
Son concert is, I mean, it's just continuous playing, isn't it? I'm it's him. It's
But we
him because
probably
I
need to
know.
give it to him now. Otherwise, we're going to have to give it to him again in the next couple of weeks.
Well, he might get lucky that someone else has even less fixture awareness about the blanks and how it's all fallen. Like, that is the danger of pulling the wild card early. He says, hovering on the wild card button himself right now, before the FA Cup games are played. It's all gone the wrong way for him, hasn't it? Congratulations on your dubious award, Rob. Right down at the bottom of the table, only a dead team below you. That's tough times, my friend. I'm sure you can turn it around. We're rooting for you. I promise you, you're going to have an extra spot on this pod for a time to come. Since we are going out after the deadline, how are you feeling? I am close to ripping this and just trying to rebuild my team. You've dipped below first for the first time in a little while, but it's still really, really close between you guys. I mean, don't give anything away, obviously, but got a plan? Changing the structure? Happy with what your original thought process was?
The plan has changed about eight times this week. Originally, I was thinking wild carding, but haven't had the time to focus on it and feel like I always feel like if you're wild carding, you want to do it early in the week and catch some of the upside, which I've missed. And
Fact.
frankly, I just don't have enough time to think about it. Then I was set on not wild carding. Now Gordon is definitely out. Means I'm going to have to make more transfers. So I'm not even able to roll, which would have been the advantage of having two next week. And I've still got McTominay in the cells and Turner sitting on my bench, not playing. So I think I probably won't, purely because I just don't see there being enough upside now. And it's one of those weeks where there are enough really good players in my team playing in good fixtures that you could wild card out at a lot of points.
I
But
think it's going to be one of the
personally, I'm
swingiest
still.
weeks while everyone is lurching towards players that you shouldn't really be having inside your team. Some are going to wild card in even earlier than necessary, and you're definitely, definitely taking out players who have been on great form, are in our team for a reason, playing good fixtures on the hope that an extra game at some point in the next couple of weeks will make a difference. I think it will really separate the league. I mean, looking at the top of the league and speaking about you, I guess now, but between you and Damien, yes, there are differences in the team, but the biggest swing last week was just literally one player. Like, the difference between a Garnacho and a McTominay is the difference between first and second, like, in one go. So to see that much swing on one player, and now we're going to see some truly different teams. Salah flirting, Son on the way back. It's going to be interesting. So I need to go. I've got to go do some tinkering and work out if I'm actually going to push this button or not. So currently on a minus four. Listener, you'll know if I take it any further than that. Stay good, my friend. See you soon.
Good luck. See you soon.